Andrew, why don't you tell us why you called all the way from San Jose tonight?
Sure. Well, I was actually in Los Angeles last weekend on a business trip, and I listened to the discourses with my wife, and we were really blessed by the program.
How so?
Well, there were some things that my wife and I were prayerfully considering, things with regards to the church we were attending, and some things we really needed answers on. And although we didn't call him last week, they were things that you more or less answered that other callers called in on. And so we really felt, you know, the anointing or the blessing and just that God was working. And that here the question that we had, you know, it was about 11:30 and we figured, well, we might not be able to get through. They're just taking a couple more calls.
Yeah.
And one of the last calls that came in was related to the topic that we were concerned with.
That's good.
Because there was actually kind of some pressure being put on us in the church we were going to here in the San Jose area with regards to certain spiritual gifts and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, your biblical answer pointed us to the direction that we, you know, looked into ourselves and we kind of pursued it, the verses, and really did a study on it. And I think based on the guidance that you gave and also that the Holy Spirit gave us as we were praying and reading the Word, just helped us to make a real biblical decision based on that.
Biblical answers for real-life problems.
So let me tell you, I did not put Andrew up to calling. This is not my style. You're really in San Jose, right?
That's right.
Thank you for tuning in to the webcast tonight. Pastor John in Los Angeles, California, and just glad that you can make this set with me, and it's a great thing. Let's have the opening theme, and then we'll get going. Mark Ramsey, introduce me.
Welcome. This is Ram Radio. Ram stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of Ram Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teacher. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. Ram Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey, for that wonderful introduction, and thank you for joining me tonight for the webcast. Here in Los Angeles, California, in the Lucy Coleman Studio, Pastor John Coleman. Enter the Word Ministries, which is the biblical alternative. I'd like you to grab your Bibles, get them ready, as I prepare to bring you some very important insights through the news and through the very Word of God. Welcome to Ram Radio, the biblical alternative. Thank you for joining me today for the webcast. I'm glad that you could take out some time to come this way. All right, on News One, there was a couple of articles that came out today here on the, gee whiz, I shouldn't forget today. You know what day it is. I don't have to tell you. Here's one. Drug users beware. Flesh-eating cocaine hits the streets. Now, those kind of dynamic ideas, you know, you're thinking about this and you sense, oh my God, this sinful drug of cocaine, and now it eats the flesh. It says recent findings revealed in this article that some laced cocaine likely contains, I think what they're talking about is Levamisil, okay, which is a veterinary drug used for deworming livestock that will make your flesh, quote unquote, rot off. It appears that some of this stuff has been put in cocaine. It says, according to the Department of Justice, some 70% of cocaine, most of it, is distributed in and around New York and Los Angeles. It is cut with this substance, Levamisil. You spell it like this, Levamisole. Time reported this, that the average user does not live longer than 2 or 3 years, and that few who manage to quit usually come away disfigured. Now, this is tragic news for people that use drugs and people that use cocaine. And here's another paragraph on this. Now, this is, these are true stories now, I'm assuming. It says that a new report being published in the Journal of the American Academy of Dermatology finds that 6 patients who develop purple-colored patches of neurotic skin on their ears, nose, cheeks, and other parts of the body, apparently thanks to this drug that I just read about, cut coke, and they say that this is the tip of the iceberg in a looming public health problem, quote unquote. So when your lips start falling off and everything else, it's probably due to that. Do Christians use cocaine? I hope not in any way. That is a dangerous drug. Not all drugs are dangerous. Cocaine is very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. And I heavenly admonish you to use wisdom, because see, this stuff is chemically induced. Here's another article that, you know, just kind of like brings us, I guess, home to where we are today. And disturbing, to say the least. It's very disturbing. I have more of the news stories coming out. Here's one. NFL player stabbed by girlfriend in a fight over a cell phone. And this is taken again from News One. And this article was given for Black America. I guess they're writing for Black Americans. And this is noteworthy in my community. In Detroit, Denver Broncos defensive player Jason Hunter was struck in the hand, struck in the left upper chest by a kitchen knife hurled at him by his girlfriend during an argument over cell phones, according to the police report obtained by the Associated Press. Hunter told police that the woman waved the knife at him and told him to stay back before throwing it on accident during the morning of April 27th, according to the 6-page report obtained through the Freedom of Information Act request. She then took her boyfriend to receive medical treatment and was later arrested after being pointed out by the hospital security, the report said. That is unfortunate that people are so violent now. I was just talking with a friend of mine today, and I was talking about how I like going out meeting ladies and everything, but I'm not serious about marrying any ladies. I just like meeting them, hanging out with them, causing them to laugh and to smile. But, you know, after reading a story like this, I'm going to leave them alone. Quiet is kept. Leave them alone, because we're living in dangerous, dangerous time. Wow. Here's another article, and this is pandemic in our country. Teacher on the run after having sex with 2 children and with the student. I guess they got a picture of the teacher here and a 17-year-old boy. It says a former Texas dance teacher is on the run after it was revealed that she slept with the student and bore his 2 children. Oh, my gosh. Her name is Ann Lynn Montgomery. She's 35 years old, and she has been charged with 2 second-degree felony sexual assaults on a child under the age of 17, an improper relationship between student and educator. She faces a maximum of 20 years in prison if convicted. I have a question. Why can't they do the same thing to Eddie Long that they did to her if the Eddie Long guys had got their mamas to turn in the pastor? Then Eddie Long could have been arrested. But since they all became adults and somebody's reaping the benefits of what Eddie Long gave them, can't have this story operating out of the same deal. See, there we go. There is something pretty rotten in Denmark. All right, another article here. Who shot Tupac? I you know, who shot Tupac? 1994 edition. I'm not concerned about that. They have a picture in this deal right here with Tupac with blood all over him and his head wrapped up, looking at the camera, giving the middle finger to the camera. Well, this is what the article says. Jimmy Henchman Roseman has been arrested for drug conspiracy charges, and one of his former associates, who he blasted for informing on him that he claimed that Roseman was behind the Tupac's shooting in 1994. Well, I don't know who this guy is, and I don't even know why it's important who shot Tupac. I guess so if he's a world artist. Here again, we as Christians are not supposed to be that tied in, but you know, unfortunately we are. You know, we're tied into these people. We know who Tupac is. If any of you went to high school before you became Christians and you listened to Tupac and you listened to all that music, you know what it's all about. And you know how that music controls you. Here's one. Dr. Boyce says that T.D. Jakes, interesting, T.D. Jakes should stop defending Bishop Eddie Long. Okay. This article goes and says, some have been awaiting for Bishop T.D. Jakes to speak up on the scandal involving the other Southern mega pastor down the road, Bishop Eddie Long. Jakes recently commented on Long's case, stating that Christians should simply pray for Long because they don't have the right to do much of anything else. I don't know what that means. What do you mean we don't have the right to do much of anything else? We can vacate the premises. We can shut him down. We cannot pay him. There's a lot of things that we could do. Long was accused, of course, as you know, of sexual coercion of four young men in the care of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, and a lawsuit was filed against Bishop Long, settled for an undisclosed amount of money, but I heard through the grapevine, $25.8 million, that the church, by the way, has to pay back. It was reported that Long paid $25 million for the settlement and has chosen to keep the details of the case quiet. Now, at the Potter's House in Dallas, Jake said Christians should just pray for Long. Now, you need to find out why Jakes just said that. Okay? Listen to this. When this is over, TD says, one thing is for sure. Somebody, if not everybody, in it is going to need the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't know what that means. See, here he's using some kind of religious jargon that doesn't. What good is the blood of Jesus Christ? And no one has that blood. Oh, I know what he means. He means the saving, atoning act of Jesus Christ dying on Calvary is going to take the guilt of that man having sex with those four teenage boys? No, it's not. Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It will find you out. I was having dinner with a friend of mine, and a couple of days in a row, this friend cautioned me. My dear Christian friend, he cautioned me. He says, John, I think you're too free, too loose, because, you know, I have no tolerance for the church anymore. I don't even discuss them in that way. And I told him, I said, you're entitled to your opinion. And he said, so you're not going to pay me any attention? I said, no. Because I know who I am and what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, and where I'm headed, and where I'm going, and why I'm going. And I told this friend of mine, I don't need you to tell me that because I'm a grown man. I'm 67 years old. I know when I've sinned. I know when I am sinning. I know what the consequence of that is. And check out what else I said. Friends, I said, if God at the end of my life looks at Pastor John and say, because of your grossness and your foolishness, I am not going to let you into heaven, he would be justified. That's how much I love God. I don't have a problem with him banishing me to a place of torment if he chooses to do so, though I don't believe that God is that kind of a God as some of the Christians make him out to be. You know, if I don't do what everybody in the church tells me to do, God is going to come and inflict some kind of torment on me. Thank God I don't worship a God like that. Thank God I don't worship a vindicative mad beast that would do that. All right, let's go back to the article here. And it says, not only does Jake say that Christians should pray for long, but he says that they don't have the authority to do anything else. Listen to this. He says, we have no other authority but to pray, he said. That is a lie from the very pit of hell. Give me the scripture for that. Where does the Bible just tell us to pray? No. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read a scripture to you. Let me read over here and get my Bible. I want to educate you right now. And I'm not using the iPad. I'm using the straight book. I'm getting the Bible. I'm going to it. I hope my memory serves me right. I'm going to 1 Timothy. And I'm thinking that I'm turning to chapter 5. I'm not using any computer Bibles today. I'm just going to it. And I'm going to try to answer this article by answering what there is no. Yes, there is. Hold it. Hold on. Hold on, John. Hold on. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Okay. Now, look what it says. It's giving instructions as how to respond towards elders. It's giving instructions on how the church members should have a disposition or attitude about an elder. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. This has nothing to do with money. In other words, if that elder is ruling in a position as a pastor and doing it well without any scandals or anything behind his name, double honor should be given to him, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. If a Bible man is a preacher and teacher and he's dealing with the word, that's all he does is give you advice from the word, then he should be given special recognition. That's what that means. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Now, the implication of these verses is that the shepherd is working and he needs to gender some pay from you. That's why we pay our pastors if they're working in the vineyard and doing what they're doing. Now, look what verse 19 says, and this is the part of the scripture that I was leaning towards. For it says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. Did the two or three witnesses speak up against Eddie Long? Yes. Did Eddie Long deny that he did it? Yes. Well, why did he pay? If he denied that he did it, why does the church have to pay $25.8 million if he didn't do it? Does that make any sense? An innocent man paying that kind of money for something that he didn't do. Now, listen to this. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. So, TD, you're wrong. You said that all we can do is pray. No, you can levy an accusation against him. This is what the Bible says right here. And then it says, those who continue in sin. This isn't talking in verse 20 about the congregation. This is talking about the pimped out behind pastor, the elder, the dude like Eddie Long, the dude like T.D. Jakes, the blooming pimp. Now, wait a minute. Those who continue in sin like T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, Eddie Long, Kenneth Omer, Charles Blake, the pastor of First AME here in Los Angeles. Oh, man, he's siding with Murdoch, the owner of the Dodgers, standing with him against the divorce against his wife, and a rabbi looked up this idiot's name on the internet and saw how much garbage that foolish man that is a pastor of First AME in Los Angeles is involved in. His name escapes me. I don't want to know his name. And the Jewish rabbi wrote a letter that the Times, the LA Times, printed this weekend, stating basically that the black clerics, and he wasn't being racist with it, and some of the most stupid, ignorant people you ever want to meet in your life. Rebuke, look what it says, verse 20, those who continue in sin, in other words, those who continue to mess up, rebuke in the presence of all. You know what this is saying to the pastor? Rebuke that booger. T.D. Jake says that there's nothing else that we can do, right? No, the Bible tells you to rebuke him. Now, hey, don't get mad. Rebuke the sucker. Rebuke is behind. I don't know. You know, people telling me, well, half of the church ain't showing up no more. The rest of them punks need to rebuke him. Are they standing in the same miry pit that he's in? Rebuke him. If somebody messes with you, you let somebody mess with you. Mess with your family. Are you going to rebuke them? Are you just going to, we're just going to pray. Says rebuke him. Now, why rebuke him in the presence of all? Look at the latter part of verse 20. So that the rest, what rest? It's not talking about the other church members. It's talking about the other pimped out pimps. The bishops that are crooked just like his. So that the rest also may be fearful of sinning. These bishops are not fearful of sinning because, like this clown just told you, there's nothing else for the church to do but pray. Oh my goodness. We have no other authority but to pray, he said. The new birth church is a church unto itself, who has a board and it has its membership, and how they choose to handle their leadership issues is not something that we can control, regardless of which side you're on the issue. That's a lie. Again, T.D. Jakes, I just read 1 Timothy chapter 5 to you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19 says to rebuke them in the presence of them all. Now, you guys want to know how come I've been silent? How come I'm not saying anything? What's wrong with you folk? Didn't you know that scripture was there? Didn't a pimp, I'm sorry, but the pastor that you got over you let you know with that verse? How would your pastor address this article? Mark Ramsey called me and said, we're going to have a webcast. Bob couldn't come in. I told Mark not to come in. I said, no, I'm going to handle this. I wasn't going to do anything. I said, Mark, I'm tired, man. I'm tired of this. You people are allowing these clowns to stay in office and to continuously rip you off. What a man is doing in private shall be brought to the light. I'm not worried about that. But man, these cats are doing this publicly right in front of you. And then the pimp is going to tell you there's nothing that you can do but utter up some empty phrases to a God that you're not even quite sure exists. And as far as T.D. Jakes is concerned, there is no God, because he lied on the character of God. All right, you got your Bibles, which I just thought about this. Turn with me to Isaiah. You like Pastor John when he's on a Bible roll, right? I'm going to give you so much Bible, it's going to come out your Isaiah chapter 55. All right? I want to read something to you. Look what it says. Isaiah 55, verse 8. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God talking. You know, God is saying, I don't think like you. I don't think like T.D. Jakes. I don't think like John Coleman. And then he says, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. In other words, the Lord said, don't be talking about all God said to do is pray. He said, I'm not like that, and your way is not my way. See, God's way is judgment. Roast that sucker, destroy his life. And then it says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, we know that, just look up. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's a declarative sentence in verse 9 of Isaiah chapter 55. God is also spoken in 1 Timothy chapter 5, all right, verses 17 through 20. You see the way you do that? I'm speaking, this is what I'm saying. When you listen to a pimp is going to come across like a sour grape. And that's all this pimp is, T.D. Jakes, how they choose to handle it. And then it says, how convenient that Bishop Long would avoid appearing to support his friend who might be, but that's the way they wrote it. How convenient that Bishop Long would avoid appearing to support his friend who might be a gay molester, but would support the right for him to handle the situation in his own private way. With Bishop Jakes' remarks in conjunction with those of Creflo Dollar, because Creflo Dollar made the same kind of statements a few days ago. We are finding that friendship can go much deeper than doing the right thing when it comes to protecting your colleagues. And you see, I don't have any colleagues. I had a pastor come by and visit me in my home yesterday. And I asked him, I said, so what do you think of the Eddie Long situation. Oh, and we had this conversation. I said, man, you know how we are as men. You better stop playing. Don't be trying to come across like you just holier than now, like you've never done anything. And this pastor that I was speaking to knew exactly what I was talking about. He asked me, he says, are you going to go with us when we go to the convention? I said, you know I don't go with pastors to those things. I'm not going anywhere with you guys. I don't want to be seen amongst this. Because the pastorate is now a situation. You don't want to go around telling nobody that you are a pastor. Oh, and my condolences goes out to the Reverend Wilson's family. Greg Wilson, one of my students of homiletics back in the day, I understand from Brother Sam Smith that Greg Wilson passed away. Greg Wilson was a very dear friend of Barry Head's, who came out of True Worshipers Missionary Baptist Church back in the day in the 90s, and he took homiletics with me. And I have one of his, I'm going to have to put up one of his, I may have Greg Wilson's sermon clip up on the internet, I'm not sure. But excellent young man, and he passed away of cancer a few days ago. His family have my deepest condolences. He was a fine, fine student of the homiletic. I'm so proud of Greg Wilson than I would be of any Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, pimp, Fred Price, crony than I've ever known. A fine young man, fine family, children, dead in his mid-40s. And God knows what he's doing. Here again, Greg Wilson beat me to the pearly gates of heaven. And I'm a little envious about that. Let me go back to the article here. All right. I don't trust that the board at New Birth, this writer said, has the ability to protect the children in the church, because I fully suspect that Bishop Long's behavior was allowed to continue due to the negligence of silent, get this, enablers of his egregious activity. Wow, what strong words. And he says, I also interpret the remark of T.D. Jakes, this author of this article says, and Creflo Dollar, who strongly support Long's right to forgiveness, to be a part of a concerted strategy to support their friend without running into criticism from their own congregations. Of course, you got to walk gently when you handling Negroes and their religion, man. This great little book, I got to share it with you. I got it right here with me in the studio. All I have to do is turn around and grab it. Hold on. I'm turning away from the mic if the sound goes down, but back. I've told you about this book so many times. Told you about this book. It's called Black Religion, The Negro and Christianity in the United States, written by Joseph R. Washington Jr. Okay, this book was written in 1965. At that time, Joseph R. Washington Jr. was the Dean of Chapel and Associate Professor of Religion at the Elbion College in Elbion, Michigan. He was a graduate of the University of Wisconsin and Andover Newton Theological School and received his doctorate in theology at Boston University. He wrote this fine treatise. This book was a gift to me, given to me by a very godly, astute Black Baptist preacher who professionally was a dentist who lived here in Los Angeles. And after he heard me on the radio and came to visit me when I was preaching in my church, he presented to me, because he left the city of Los Angeles to move in another state, and he gave me this wonderful little book. It only cost $2.45, and I don't know whether it's still in print, but I'd like to read something to you that goes along with this author's statement right here. I'm going to read it to you. It says, there are Negro religious institutions which developed out of the folk religion, and it is this historical folk religion which unites all Negroes in a brotherhood which takes precedence over their individual patterns for the worship of God, or lack of thereof. Then Joseph writes and he says, the root of this folk religion, as we shall see in chapter 3, is racial unity for freedom and equality. You see what I mean? So whatever black man does, if he gets famous, rich, bold, and everything, he's going to use that race card to make it work. Because the underlying clause is that now we can do it. I have another article that I'm going to share with you today that's going to propagate that same idea and show you that this is true. So it's a strategy that these guys use. And then this guy ends up the report and he puts it this way. The reality, however, is that there are some moments in our lives when we must ask ourselves the simple question, what would Jesus do? No. I don't agree with that. See, that's too cliche-ish. Not what would Jesus do? No, it's I dare you to make that statement that T.D. Jakes made about there's nothing they can do to Jesus. Because Jesus would say, you're a bald-faced liar. I never call you to preach, teach, and do anything. You said that the church can do nothing else. That's a bald-faced lie. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's what Jesus would do. Don't ask me what would Jesus do like I don't know what he would do. I've read the Bible. He would give him his hat. That's what he would do. Then the article ends up and it says, personally, I don't believe that Jesus would protect a man accused of sexually abusing children in the church. I don't think he would. And I think this is the first time some statements are actually coming out like this about this situation, because what we need to do is we need to give acquiescence to the fact that the black church is just as corrupt as the Catholic church is, with their clerics going around poking people in the behinds as children. But these boys were not just little children. These boys were well oversized African-American male teenagers with muscles, sinews, and big balled up fists. They could have kept their underwear on and held their anuses tight, but they didn't. Why did they release that muscle? Why did they allow that to take place? You have to ask their mothers that. Did the mothers know what was going on since they don't have any fathers? And they had this preacher. Hey, listen, I got two young men, 23 years old, standing here with me. And they can both strangle me and choke me out at the drop of a hat. You think I'm a fool? What's the matter with you? Wait a minute. Let's keep going. This guy says right here, even if he were to lose his Rolls Royce in the process, I encourage Jakes and Dollar to do the right thing and speak up on behalf of the poor boys who may have been perpetually damaged by the man they entrusted with their lives. Now, let me respond to this right now. This, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. Where in the Bible does it tell us to entrust our lives to a preacher? I just thought I'd ask that. If anybody has the verse, I need you to share it with me. And please don't try to give me a verse and share that verse with me if there is actually no actual connection with that verse or to that verse and to make that verse have any meaning. You can't do that. See, but where? I don't see it anywhere. It never has been anywhere. It never has been like that. But you know, many people like to think like that. They like to think, well, yeah, you know, we that's just the way it is. And no, it is not that way. It is not that way. And then the last sentence says, these allegations, which are not being publicly refuted by long, are simply unforgivable. Let me say this right now. You need to stop trying to act like those boys are innocent. Those boys just as guilty. They knew what they were doing. They knew what they were getting. They knew what that was all about. And so the gentleman that wrote this article, and his name is, let me get it, Dr. Boyce Watkins. Okay. Dr. Boyce Watkins wrote that. Doctor, I believe you got a PhD, and it's a legitimate PhD, but the PhD doesn't make any sense the way you end up your stuff, because you're still trying to keep it clean. You need to come with a biblical perspective, and then you won't try to judge in that way. All right, we've been about 34 minutes into the webcast, and I want to end up with this article right here. And I don't whether it's I don't know whether it's true. I haven't validated it, whether it's true, but it is on this News One for Black America. That's where you can find it if you go to AOL.com and Black Entertainment. Well, Black Planet. Yeah, the Black Planet Universe. That's where you're going to find these articles, because I want you to be able to read them yourself and to contend with this. But the UK Daily Mail is reporting that former NFL great O.J. Simpson allegedly confessed to a producer for the Oprah Winfrey Show that he indeed murdered his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, in an act of self-defense. Now, as I read the story, of course, we all remember, and they have this interesting picture up in the article, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get the picture of Jakes and get the picture of OJ and get the picture of all of them, and I'm going to put it up on my website, and so that at least it can spark some interest to listen to the articles as I get. Now, as we address this article, I don't know whether it's true, and I'm just reading it. Okay. There's another article that they refer to. Says Oprah. She said, "I have a dream of O.J. Simpson confessing to me." I don't know why she's, I guess she's a dream weaver here with her strange self. The reporter by the report by the National Enquirer, which the Daily Mail sourced, claims that Simpson spotted Nicole at a restaurant with the children a few hours before the murder occurred. He claimed that she snubbed him, that she snubbed him when he interrupted their meal. I don't know about that, but, you know, people do snub each other, and they do react like that. And I don't know why that took place, but she snubbed him. All right. OJ said that he went home and kept getting angrier and angrier, and worked himself up into an absolute rage. That's what he said. He worked himself up into an absolute rage, the source told the Enquirer. Okay. And then it says he allegedly, and this is what is so interesting about this whole situation. He allegedly then went to the house, pounded on the door, and no one answered. And a few minutes later, Nicole opened the door, with a knife in her hand. That she had a knife. I guess she had the knife in her hand. And OJ told the producer that she was yelling, "Go away, go away," and waving the knife around at me. At one point, she was lunging at me with the knife. Oh, yes, I'm reading this to you because I want you to know how the world is. Remember, because, see, we always try to make these rich people our heroes, the most beautiful. Oh, they're so beautiful. They have money. Look at her and look at him. They were America's golden children, the black football star and the white, blonde, blue-eyed girl that society allowed this to take place. It's so beautiful. Yeah, is it? It's a bloodlet. That's what it is. Man, without God in your life is a bloodlet. That's what it is. This is when Simpson claims that he lost complete control. It was in such a rage, he says, that something just snapped. I couldn't take her constant taunting of me with other men or with her using drugs and drinking while my kids were living with her. I went berserk. I guess that's a quote, unquote, by O.J. Simpson. Then went on to describe the grotesque murder. All right. And here's another quote. He says, before I knew what I was doing, I took the knife away from Nicole and started slashing at her. I cut her over and over again until she was lifeless. I was shocked at my own anger. I had killed the woman that I had loved for so long. He also admitted to murdering Ron Goldman when he showed up and found Nicole's lifeless body on the floor. Now, the article goes on and says, the yet-to-be-confirmed story breaks just a week after Oprah said that she had a dream to have Simpson tell the truth about the June 17th, 1994 night. Now, they have a video up, and I'm gonna pause this thing and play the video because I don't know what video this is of him on this website. And if it is an interesting video, I'll have it hyperlinked to my website. Be back in a second. Okay, I just watched a video, and it's an old video after he was acquitted for that. And so it's not a video that I thought that it was. You know, it's interesting as I read this article further down because it says Simpson is currently serving a 9-year sentence in Nevada's Lovelock Correctional Center after he was convicted of robbery and kidnapping in Las Vegas in October of 2008. Now, right under this article, it says that there has been an update. The update at 1:10 p.m., Oprah representatives quashed the rumor today that O.J. Simpson has confessed to murdering Nicole Brown Simpson, according to The Hollywood Reporter. The report was broken by the UK Daily Mail and the National Enquirer. Both sites claimed that Simpson told a reporter his confession. No major news organizations have reported on the alleged confession. Earlier this week, Winfrey said that she had dreamed is to have Simpson confess on her show. And I am going to make that happen, people, she said. I don't just want the interview. I want the interview on the condition that you are ready, Mr. Simpson. Now, you know what? I find this very interesting, and I'm going to be following this very closely, because can the UK people be sued? Why would OJ tell the reporter something like that if it was not true? He has nothing to lose. He can't be retried. Oh, it's just something, you know. Even when I look at the old pictures, it's everything is just so outstandingly... Well, okay. I think that's about it. I'm going about 43 minutes, and that's enough news. There are other stories that I can share with you about this. The one that was really bad was a teacher with the student again, and they're looking for her. And now as you hear music in the background, so it appears that the young man must have arrived at my home because they're playing the music loud, and I'm going to have to go in there and tell him, please turn the music down, guys. You know, every time I turn around, they think it's a party or something like that, right? So let me take care of that right now. Hey, listen, thank you for coming. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to hear your comments about the T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, and Eddie Long thing. I really would like to hear your comments on that, on what you think about what, especially what T.D. Jakes says, because it is utterly ridiculous how these so-called bishops of the church can. But I guess when you a pimp, you want all the other pimps to continuously, you know, survive. So that's the way that is. All right, that's it. God bless you. Thanks for coming to the website today. I hope that you have been blessed. And I would also hope that you can... Oh, goodness. Wait a minute. I have to go to the next cut here. I have to learn... There we go. I have to learn how to use my equipment here. That's what I have to do. But since I've messed it up royally, I'll just play this tune and say thank you for coming to the webcast. Whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.